When we think about pedagogy or pedagogues, we often think about teachers, about teaching. That pedagogy is a way of teaching, and a pedagogue is someone who teaches. But if we look at the actual root of this word, it actually goes back to the slave. The pedagogue was the slave who would take children to school. In other words, he was not the teacher himself. He simply got them to the point where they were ready to be taught by the teacher. And this makes more sense when we think about the Jewish law, because we often say that the Jewish law was pedagogy. It was the pedagogue for the Jewish people to be prepared for the coming of the great teacher, Jesus Christ. When we look at what Jesus is saying today, he first gives us the old teaching, the pedagogical teaching, the one that got the Jewish people to the point they needed to be. And it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And this is actually an improvement over what most Semitic cultures were doing. In ancient Semitic cultures, the general norm was that if somebody inflicted harm upon you, you would then unleash greater harm on them. And this led to many feuds that were between not only people, individuals, but tribes and even nations. And it would always be an escalation of violence until both were destroyed. Christ is going a little bit further. Because while the Jewish people improved things by saying, now it's going to be proportional to how what's inflicted upon you, Christ says, go further than that. You were taken by your pedagogue to this point, now let me take you further. That it's not just an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but it's a law of forgiveness. That rather than proportionally attack the person who attacks you, rather forgive them in your heart. And the result will be peace. Now that doesn't mean that we have to be a doormat. But it also means that suffering is going to come to us. We're going to encounter difficult people. And we have two choices, to either run from that, to push against it, and in that way to actually make the suffering worse, or to separate the sinner from the sin. When somebody does evil to us, to be able to say, I don't like what's happening, and yet I forgive the person who did it. Christ doesn't leave us out there to figure out how to do this on our own. He, of course, gives us the great example on the cross when he forgave those who persecuted him. This idea of increasing suffering by our avoidance of it was the great insight of the spiritual writer Jacques Philippe. He spoke about how suffering comes to all of us. And we can either hold on to bitterness and anger about it, but this only compounds the suffering. Because it doesn't harm the person that we won't forgive. It harms us. It makes us bitter. It drags us down and it compounds what we're already going through. By forgiving, by being kind to those who persecute us, we actually lift a burden off of ourselves. And we become more free. The Christian philosopher Boethius was under house arrest. And he was awaiting his execution in the 5th century by an unjust king. And in his prison of his home, he thought, how is it that I've spent my whole life trying to bring wisdom to others and to follow our Lord? And yet here I sit in chains, while the king, who has rejected Christ and his teachings, is free. And he came to what he understood and called the consolation of philosophy. The idea that actually he was more free than that king. That he was able to forgive in his heart and to come to know Christ through his suffering, by uniting his suffering to the cross, while the king was blinded by ambition and power And all of that would come to an end sooner or later. That the greatest freedom of all is not freedom of movement or even freedom of expression, but the freedom of being a son and daughter of God and of being able to give that grace and that forgiveness to others. If we can do this, if we can forgive as God forgives, then we'll be following the last line of this gospel, to be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Understanding that we'll never be that perfect. But Christ sets God up and himself as the great example. Holiness is not so much a destination as a journey, a continuing to move forward toward the example of Christ. Because Christ, at every moment of his life, even when he was nailed to the cross, was the most free of all. Because even in his death, he was able to forgive those who persecuted him. He may have been carrying the burden of the cross, but he carried no burden of anger or resentment or lack of forgiveness. But we all know that we carry those crosses. And those are the ones that Christ wants to lift off of our shoulders. And if we can do that, if today we can think about those who have harmed us and those that we need to forgive, and we can begin that hard work of letting go of the bitterness and pain, then we'll be walking with that great pedagogue and the teacher, Jesus Christ. And that walk with him leads us to the kingdom of heaven.